Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. Called the Ghetto Blaster.
May I cut in?
That's the cello!
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. I am one of your hosts, Jared Albrick, the Yard Sale Artist, and we are here today to welcome back multi-Bond novel author Raymond Benson to enlighten us on the history of the scores and the soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to Professor Benson himself, let me introduce my classmate and co-host on all this stuff. This is Mr. Alan J. Porter, and how you doing this morning, Alan?
I am fine, thank you, Jared, and good morning to you. Good morning to Raymond. And looking forward to this one. For today, we're getting on the train and taking a ride along with the music of From Russia with Love.
Oh boy, I'm pretty fired up about this one.
Yeah, me too. I have been spinning the disc all weekend long, so it's one of my favorite soundtracks. I'm looking forward to this one.
Definitely.
We're all seated and ready to go. Let's bring in the professor himself, Mr. Raymond Benson, for his Bond Music 101 on From Russia with Love.
Hey everybody, it's Raymond Benson here. Is everybody in their seats and you have your textbooks? Ah, I bet you don't know about textbooks, did you?
Uh-oh.
Hey, I remember textbooks. Not quite slate and chalk, but I remember textbooks.
Well, I just meant to mention this at our first session on Dr. No, but, you know, there's several texts out there that are useful. There's lots of publications on the history of Bond movies and such, but I got to give a shout out to John Burlingame. His book, The Music of James Bond, is just terrific. And I'm getting a lot of my information from a lot of sources, but that one's sort of like the main one. And if I really was teaching a class, that would be the textbook.
So this isn't a real class. I've been taking notes this whole time for nothing.
That's the one I go to as my source for information on Bond music too. So,
Yeah. So are we ready to dive into the second James Bond film music?
We certainly are. We're definitely along for the ride on this one.
All right. It's late 1962 and Eon Productions have been given the green light by United Artists to make the second film because Dr. No was so successful. So From Russia with Love was picked. We all know that John F. Kennedy had named that book as one of his 10 favorite books in a Life magazine article. And so that title was kind of on everybody's, you know, radar as a Bond story. So it just made perfect sense that that would be the next Bond film at that time. Now, the producers will take it as a given that they've, you know, written the script and they've cast it and they're shooting it. When it comes time to, okay, who's going to do the music? The producers believed that John Barry was the right man to score the movie. He had done such a fabulous job on arranging and conducting the James Bond theme by Monty Norman in the last movie that they used it all through the movie. And by the time that movie had sort of played out, that theme was being played on the radio. And it sort of became not only the main title theme of Dr. No, but it became really the James Bond theme, you know, what they would use for the character from then on. But they didn't have confidence that John Barry could write a hit song with vocals. He had written a couple, two or three instrumental hits with his John Barry 7, but he never had a hit vocal song. So the producers just sort of said, we've got to find a hit maker. That's kind of a tradition that continues to today where they would go out and find, you know, the top drawer composer or whatever. And although now it's more about the singer than it was the composer. But at the time, it was more about the composer. Lionel Bart was kind of the man of the hour at the time. He had a hit musical on the West End and in Broadway. It was the musical Oliver. That was huge. So Saltzman, who's a theater guy, he's the one that knew of his work and wanted him. And from what I understand, he apparently just went to him and hired him, overruling Broccoli and Young. Not that they put up much resistance. Broccoli and Young definitely wanted John Barry to do the underscore. So that's how that happened. Lionel Bart was hired to write the theme song, words and lyrics, and Barry was hired to do the score. Lionel Bart was born August 1st, 1930, so he's just 3 years older than John Barry. Barry was fine with Bart doing the theme. He was just real happy to get to the score, apparently. In fact, he got to go to Turkey for a couple of weeks with the team to soak up some of the atmosphere. And although, unlike what Monty Norman did with Dr. No, Barry didn't stay in Istanbul to write the music on location. He went back to the UK after a couple of weeks and did all his work back in the UK. And there he composed key themes and actually started supervising some of the recording. The movie was late in delivery, so they kind of had to rush a lot there toward the end. The music was recorded in August of 63. Barry used a guy that worked for him, a guy named Johnny Spence, as the arranger and conductor on some of the themes. And Bart's original main title music in the film, it was used a lot, and Barry used the theme, the instrumental part, the melody, in a lot of his underscore, which kind of started a tradition there for, you know, at least two or three decades of using the theme in the score. Now, the main title of the movie used the From Russia With Love theme as an instrumental. The one we hear in the movie is not the same one that's on the soundtrack album. It's a different recording. To date, we don't have a recording that you can buy of the actual main title music that's in the film. How you can tell the difference is there's an organ playing, and it's pretty prominent in the main title in the film. This organ was played by a guy named Alan Haven. And apparently, I guess this recording is lost, and that's why we've never had a, you know, remastered version of it or anything that's appeared on a re-release issue of the soundtrack. But the one that's on the soundtrack album is pretty close to what we hear in the movie. It's just missing the organ. And then they seg into the Bond theme, which, again, it solidified the concept that this is indeed the theme for the character. And Monty Norman would continue to receive credit and royalties for the song every time it's used. So why don't we start off and hit that main title, From Russia With Love, James Bond theme, at the beginning of the movie From Russia With Love.
awesome. Was there a particular reason that you know of that they used the orchestral theme as the opener and left the vocal arrangements to the end of the movie?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, who knows? I think it's actually a much more dynamic version of the song here, the instrumental version, especially with that sort of gunfire staccato thing at the beginning, you know, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We'll hear the vocal version at the end of the program, but if the movie had started off that way, it would have been a very kind of, whoa.
Yeah.
It's a ballad, you know, it's a crooner ballad. This one just, it got you to sit up and go, whoa, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do love the opening, particularly that staccato that really lets you know that Bond is back just from those few notes. That staccato opening is brilliant. I really do like it. I just wondered if there was a particular reason, or maybe they just hadn't got around to putting the vocals first yet, hadn't become a thing. I was just wondering if you knew there was a particular reason. But
you're probably right. They probably just thought, well, we'll leave the vocal thing toward the end.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So yeah, that got the movie off to a good start. And the Bond theme does play a role in the movie. And Vic Flick, the guy who played the guitar with the John Barry 7, who played it in Dr. No, he's back on this soundtrack and plays the Bond theme throughout the movie whenever it appears. And there's one really interesting version of the Bond theme that is played when Bond first arrives in Turkey. And he goes from the airport to the hotel and he's checking out his hotel room and all that. And they're playing sort of a James Bond theme, but then it's got some bongos going on in the background to kind of give it this sort of Eastern influence. And so let's take a listen to that. It's called James Bond with Bongos.
James Bond with Bongos coming up. James Bond with bongos.
Groovy. Yeah, that's not James Bond as a beatnik. You know, I just want to make that clear.
That actually always reminds me, or makes me think of Sneaky Bond or Bond.
Yes.
That's not Axe Bond. That's Sneaky Bond. That's him being a spy.
So. Right, right.
Exactly what I was thinking.
James Bond in a coffee house. You
know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's very cool stuff. I bought this album, the soundtrack album. You know, I was a kid still then. And Goldfinger was the first one I bought, but this was the second one that I got. It was before I got the Dr. No soundtrack. I was so happy that there was the guitar riff on this album in a fairly extended sequence there. So I was just going, oh, here's the song. You know, I love. So, yeah. All right. So one of John Barry's tasks in composing music was for the gypsy camp scene. And he had to do sort of authentic gypsy music. At the time when they shot the scenes, you know, the production team and Terrence Young and all those guys, they hired an actual gypsy band to accompany the music of the belly dancer and the music while they're sitting at the picnic tables eating food and stuff. And Barry was supposed to compose music that sort of was the equivalent of that, that mimicked it. And he did. He composed a song called Guitar Lament and Lila Dances. And these are on the soundtrack album. But guess what? They weren't in the movie. They actually ended up using the band that was playing at the actual shoot in the movie. And nobody really kind of knows why. The actual five-piece band that's playing in the scene was used diegetically. So again, here's a soundtrack album where there's music that was recorded for the film, but was not heard in the film. Not as much as that's on the Dr. No soundtrack, but there's, I guess, three tracks, I think, that were not used in the film. However, the first piece that Barry composed for the Gypsy Camp was used. And it's called Gypsy Camp. And Vic Flick is back again doing this wonderful little guitar riff that he kind of made up on the spot in the studio. They told him, you know, play something sort of flamenco-y, even though flamenco is Spanish. And he did. And it works. Let's listen to Gypsy Camp. This was in the movie.
Muy bien.
Yeah, good stuff. Very really nice. Yeah. This next piece we're going to do, I think the girl fight theme is a highlight of the score. I find it very complex. It's really an exciting piece of music. And the xylophone that's used in the piece kind of became a hallmark of the Bond scores that Barry did. And I believe this might be the first time that we kind of hear the xylophone in a prominent role in Barry's music. Of course, we all know the scene. You know, it's Martina Beswick, and I'm blanking on her name now. Is it Nadja Reagan? No, somebody else. Anyway, some Bond fan will correct me on that. Anyway.
I'm surprised Alan doesn't have this on the hip.
Yeah. No, Nadja Reagan was the actress who played Karen Bay's girlfriend. And then she appears at the beginning of Goldfinger.
Right. That's correct. Yep.
Yep.
It's okay. Aliza Gurr, by the way.
Aliza Gurr, that's right. Okay, so let's listen to Girl Fight. This is really cool stuff. The piece is called Girl Trouble.
All right, Girl Trouble. We'll bring that track right up. And I need you and Alan to fight each other while I listen. Thank you.
then the place explodes in action to action.
That's the scene that you, when you put it on rewind and rewind and just watch it over and over again, it's just so you can listen to the awesome soundtrack. But
yes. Not quite the reason.
Right. Yeah, well, that's cool music. I like it.
It's wonderful music, full of so much emotion, varying tempo, and that. I think it's great. It really goes well with the choreographed fight.
Mm-hmm. So this breaks right into our next song, which John Barry actually set out to compose as an alternate James Bond theme. I think maybe, who knows, I'm speculating here, but maybe he wanted his own James Bond theme, one that he would always get credit for. And 007, which was what it was called, is used several times in the series in the early days in Barry scores. You know, I know it's used in Thunderball and Honor Majesty Secret Service and Diamonds Are Forever. Is it used somewhere else? Moonraker, I think.
Last seen in Moonraker, yes.
Yeah.
Or last heard, I guess.
Well, this is a terrific piece. I love 007. Yes. I mean, it just really shows off the lyrical string arrangements that Barry loved to use over the syncopated beat. And it just sweeps, you know, especially when the chorus part is repeated the second time around. Man, he brings in the full orchestra and it just goes, wow, it sends chills up your back. So this was played twice in the movie, a little bit during the fight at the gypsy camp, and then again when they're running away with the electrocoating machine to catch the train. So let's listen to 007.
Awesome. Yeah, this is my favorite piece of Bond music, period, hands down. End of statement.
I was actually going to say that this may be sacrilegious. I actually prefer that to the Monty Norman James Bond thing.
Whoa.
We have that in common, Alan. We have that in common. I love that piece of music today.
Well, I love it too. I'm not sure I can replace it with but yeah, it's terrific. You know, I wish they'd use it more often.
Yeah, I miss it. I really miss it.
I would love for that to pop up in Bond 25.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath.
I won't, but I would love it.
All right. So I mentioned earlier that Barry would reference the title song during the underscore, usually in slower lyrical string versions, like this one coming up. This is Bond Meets Tanya, and you're going to hear the From Rush With Love theme there at the beginning. But the second part of it was actually a theme that Barry composed for Spectre, the Spectre theme. And that's this ominous sounding ascending and descending notes that you'll hear there in the song. And we hear that several times in the movie. The first time is in the beginning of the movie when Rosa Klebb and Kronstein are meeting with Blofeld. And, you know, when they find Red Grant dead. So you hear the Spectre theme here. So let's listen to Bond Meets Tanya. Okay, well, we'll hear a longer version of the Spectre theme actually in our next piece. Well, not the next one, the one after that. Yeah, pretty stuff. Mm-hmm. Interesting, you know. Yeah. Of course, they bring in the Spectre theme when you see that Rosa Klebb's behind the mirror filming them.
I can't say I'd actually noticed there was a particular Spectre theme running through, but next time I watch the movie, I'm going to have to listen for that.
Yeah, it's kind of played every time the villains are concocting their scheme and stuff. This next piece is kind of unusual, I think, for the score. It's the one in the mosque called Meeting in St. Sophia. It's got this sort of grand, I don't know how you would describe it. It's very loud and dynamic, but it captures sort of the mysterious quality of being inside this cavernous mosque, which is one of the famous old school mosques in the world. Captures the scene perfectly where Bond and Tanya are sneaking around and leaving each other notes. And then the other guy with the beret is following them and watching them. It's cool stuff. Let's listen to a Meeting in St. Sophia.
Grand and ominous are the words I would use.
Yeah. We're all spies in this place.
I love the evocation of the cloister bells and just the sense of space and echo in that one. It has a real sense of location.
Yeah. And danger.
Yeah.
This was one of Barry's first full scores. I mean, he had composed two or three prior to this, and I just think it's one of his best. I mean, it certainly belongs in the bucket of great Barry scores, if you ask me.
For sure. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. This next one, this is another example of Barry's original sweeping lyrical strings. It's a two-part piece called Man Overboard, Smersh in Action. The first part is what I'm talking about when they throw the guy off the boat. And then we get a reprise of the Spectre music, although they call it Smersh in Action. This is when it cuts back to Blofeld and the gang. This is when they kill off Kronstein, if I remember correctly. So yeah, let's listen to Man Overboard, Smersh in Action.
Spooky.
Very haunting music.
Yeah.
Now, so was the character that Walter Gotell played, was he later promoted to be General Gogol?
that's one of the theories. That's one of the theories.
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
No, it's because that was also Spectre Island, not Smersh, but the KGB, but that's a whole other geeky conversation. Talking of which, the fact that this is, for want of a better phrase, mistitled as Smersh in Action, when it's in the movie, they make such pains to differentiate between Smersh, this isn't Smersh, it's Spectre. Is that an indication of sort of when in the process that the music cues are titled? Do you know? Are they titled early in the process when maybe the script was still Smersh and not Spectre? Or
I really don't know the answer to that. I'm not even sure that Barry is even responsible for titling his own tracks. Could be just the album packager that does that. Right. I really don't know. I guess that would be a question for John Burlingame. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we get to the title song played over the end credits. Originally, a singer named Johnny DeLittle apparently recorded a demo version of the song. And Johnny DeLittle went on to work with John Barry later on his film The Knack and How to Get It. And Johnny DeLittle sang the theme song for that. But I think they didn't really like this version. And in fact, they wanted somebody, I guess, more well-known at the time. Barry knew a guy. Enter Don Black, a name that would come up in the future. Mm-hmm. Associated.
Yeah.
Don Black was a lyricist, but he was also a stand-up comedian, apparently, at this time. And he was a manager. He was the manager for Matt Monro. And Matt Monro, who was born in 1938, was a crooner in the Frank Sinatra mold, I guess you could say, British. And Black knew Barry, and they were looking for a singer. And he said, hey, I'll ask my client, Matt Monro, if he's interested. And so it was Don Black that brought Matt Monro onto the scene. Some of Matt Monro's songs, I don't know, I'm not sure if we're now familiar with much of them. I know one of his hit songs was Softly As I Leave You. You remember that song? Softly as I leave you, da 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 da. I know that song. Anyway, that's the only one I knew of his hits. One was called Portrait of My Love, My Kind of Girl. But but apparently in 1963, these were fairly well-known songs. Again, Monroe's track was arranged and conducted by Johnny Spence, you know, Barry's second string guy. It was recorded in September, early September in 1963. So it's like a month away before the movie was released. Lionel Bart and John Barry remained friends, and they worked together again later in the future. So Monroe's track, yeah, we hear it early in the film on the radio, diegetically, when Bond is with Sylvia Trench out by the river there, and he switches it off right in the middle of it. Finally, we hear it full blown on the soundtrack over the end credits. Here we go. Let's do From Rush With Love.
From Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love. I've seen places, faces, and smiled for a moment, but oh, you haunted me so. Still my tongue tied, young pride would not let my love for you show. In case you'd say no, to Russia I flew, but there and then I suddenly knew you'd care again. My running around is through, I fly to you from Russia with love.
It's a belter right there.
Yeah.
Probably a grown up in the UK thing as a youngster, but Matt Monro was actually pretty well known in the UK. He was all over most of those like TV variety shows. He was a pretty constant guest on those and did a lot. And I think he also at one point, I'm searching my memory here, but I think at one point he even represented the UK in the Eurovision Song Contest. And so he was like all over TV a lot. And I think his biggest hit in the UK was not this one, but was another movie theme, was Born Free.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
He didn't sing it in the movie, did he? Born Free?
I thought he did, yeah, but I thought
maybe he did. Yeah, I really don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Apart from this one, that's the one I sort of associate him with probably more.
Yeah. Well, you know who wrote Born Free? John Barry.
Yeah, it was a Barry score, wasn't it? I think.
He won his first Oscars, two of them for Born Free, the score and the song.
Okay.
That would be in 66. Yeah, somewhere around like in there.
I have a question about the From Russian With Love, Matt Monro one. Astute listeners who've listened to this a million times like we have, you'll hear that little warble in the background around the 110 mark-ish.
Yep.
Anybody know anything about the warble?
Yeah, it's actually studio chatter of people in the control booth that got picked up by the mics. And somehow it got speeded up in the recording process or the mastering process. And so it sounds like little garbled, blah, 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 little gremlins in the back. Yeah, that's voices of people talking.
Okay, it kind of had that Alvin the Chipmunk sound to it. And I always wondered, like, what is that little bit? I'm just surprised they let that slide, that they didn't do another take.
Well, you know, at the time with audio equipment at the time, you really couldn't hear it. But now you hear it on remastered
CDs. That makes sense.
Oh, much better equipment. You can hear it. So, yeah. So, you know, all in all, I think this was a hugely successful score. And when you hear it, it really sounds like what we've come to know as what a Bond movie sounds like. I mean, Dr. No had a great score, but except for the Bond theme, it doesn't sound like a Bond score. This one does. I think it's, you know, attributable to Barry. Singles, by the way, were released of From Russia With Love, the Matt Monro number, and 007 was actually released as a single. And then, you know, of course, we had that soundtrack album. The three pieces on the soundtrack album that were not used in the film. One was called The Golden Horn, a really lively melodic piece. Who knows where it was intended to be? It's so happy and gay that I'm not sure where it would have fit. So maybe that's why it's not in the movie, but it's a nice piece. And then I mentioned earlier, Guitar Lament and Lila Dances were not used in the film. So there we have it. That's From Russia With Love.
It's one of my favorite soundtrack albums that has been on almost constant rotation on the turntable all weekend. It's a fairly quick listen, but just listening to it over and over again, I never got bored with it. Probably because it has some of my favorite tracks on there, but I could listen to 007 all the time. It's a good one. And by the way, I have a bone to pick with you now, Jared.
Uh-oh.
Because you just made that Alvin and the Chipmunks reference, so I had to Google Alvin and the Chipmunks do James Bond. And my God, they actually did a cover of The Spy Who Loved Me.
So. Oh, no.
I guess we know what the bonus track's going to be when we get to that episode.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Because I have an Alvin and the Chipmunks do the Beatles album, unfortunately, in my collection. I thought, I wonder if they'd ever done a Bond one. So
now, I have an anecdote, a John Barry anecdote. In the year 2002, the Ian Fleming Foundation did a tribute to John Barry in England. It was held at Stoke Park, where the golf course where Goldfinger and Sean Connery play golf. For several years, the Ian Fleming Foundation would give the GoldenEye Award to somebody who, you know, made a big contribution to Bond. And that particular year, they gave it to John Barry. So there was a big gala dinner at Stoke Park, and John Barry was there with his wife, and Michael Wilson and Barbara Broccoli were there. And this was during Die Another Day was being filmed. So a lot of the cast and crew, Lee Tamahori was there, Rosamund Pike was there, George Lazenby was there, I believe. There were 500 people there, a lot of people from the studio and Eon. So, you know, there was an entertainment program where there were singers and stuff. There was one group called Opera Babes, and they came out and they performed From Russia With Love for John Barry. He didn't write it, but he sat there and smiled and was gracious. But, you know, one thing I have to modestly talk about is that I was asked to perform a piano suite as the main part of the program of Barry's music. This was a 12-minute piece that I arranged on piano, and I had to get up on stage and perform this for John Barry and Michael Wilson and Barbara Broccoli and everybody. Boy, I had never been so nervous in my life.
Wow.
I was sitting through the dinner and all through the other things, you know, just sitting there shaking. I couldn't even eat. But finally I did it, and it went off without a hitch. And John Barry came up on stage and gave me a hug.
Oh, man.
I've got to probably count that as, you know, I mean, I'm very grateful, and I don't take for granted the fact that I was a Bond author and I got to write Bond novels. But I think that moment is my most treasured moment of all my Bond experiences, is getting a hug from John Barry on stage. That was just, it was amazing.
That's
so
awesome, dude. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you remember what tunes you actually put together in the medley?
Let's see if I can remember. I still perform the medley, but now I sprinkle it with other pieces that he didn't write, you know, like Live and Let Die and Nobody Does It Better and Skyfall, you know, things that people know. But at the time, I had to completely gear it toward Barry stuff. I started with the Bond theme because, you know, you kind of have to do that. Then it went into Goldfinger. Then it went into Honor Majesty's Secret Service, the main theme. Then We Have All the Time in the World. Then back to You Only Live Twice. That was my comment on the reverse order of the novels in themselves. Then after You Only Live Twice, Capsule in Space. I actually did Capsule in Space on the piano.
Nice.
Awesome. And then, yeah, that goes into You Only Live Twice. After that, Moonraker. I threw in If There Was a Man.
Excellent.
From Living Daylights. And it ends with Thunderball because it had a really great ending to it. You know, it was quite an evening, I got to say.
Sounds like it. Wonderful. What a great story.
Yes.
So I guess that brings us to the end of today's lesson on the music of From Russia With Love. I've already sort of put my vote out there for my favorite track, unsurprisingly, is the 007 alternate theme. So Raymond, what's your sort of favorite of the tracks we talked about today?
Oh, well, 007, I agree with you. I think that's the highlight of the score.
And Jared, I'm guessing it's 3 out of 3.
It is 3 out of 3 with an honorable mention for that's always cool, but the 007, I've missed it, man. It's been gone since 1977. And it needs to come back.
Definitely does. And talking of things that do or don't need to come back, I'm going to pass the baton back to Jared for his bonus track, which is certainly something different this time around.
Yeah, I suggested it to Jared. Somebody posted it on Facebook, and I just kind of went, oh my gosh, this is just too kitschy to not play. Oh my God.
I don't know what Raymond's talking about. I scoured the internets to find these things. I do all the hard work.
Nobody
just emails it to me out of the blue or anything.
This is a single by some band called The Four Esquires, and they took the Bond theme. You know, I think it says on the label of the 45, from the movie Dr. No. So this came out in 1963. They added lyrics to the Bond theme. And oh boy.
Yes, they
did. This is ultra lounge, ultra, ultra lounge.
Let's just roll this.
Double 007 has a license to kill. With a gun or a knife, he has the greatest of skill. If he's out to get you, you can bet that he will. James Bond is his name. From Kingston, Jamaica, to the streets of Bombay. Wherever there's trouble, he is not far away. 007 means the crime doesn't pay. James Bond is his name.
His favorite gun is a Beretta.
This boy is loaded with charm.
It's hard to say whether he's better.
With a gun in his hand.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
There's your bonus track for today that, yes, Raymond sent that to me, and curse you, because absolute earworm. I find myself singing the lyrics around the house now.
I actually looked it up. Of the 70 official cover versions of the James Bond theme, this is the only one that has the word vocal in brackets after it.
It's peppy. You got to give it that. It's peppy.
It is. It is. From Jamaica to Bombay, though, I don't know where the idea came up with the Bombay thing. And his favorite gun is the Beretta, which is interesting, as in the right at the beginning of Doctor No, they take the Beretta off him and give him the Walther.
Reluctantly, though, he really liked that Beretta.
But it was his favorite gun. He probably went out singing that. So, so that was a fun one. Great find, Raymond.
What are you talking about? I searched the internet.
You mean you opened your email?
Yeah, that's me scouring the internet.
Well, I guess our next show will be, you know, one of the most iconic scores, and that's Goldfinger. I got to say, the most interesting history of the Bond scores is Dr. No. I mean, that's the one where we talk the most. And I think from here on out, it's just going to be pretty much playing different tracks and going, okay, we love this track. Because there's not a lot of like historical interest, but I'll try to come up with some tidbits and some nuggets that I can throw out there.
My only anecdote for this soundtrack from Rush with Love, I bought it at a surprise flea market. And this was about 2002. This has started a tradition I've had since then. I put on a Bond score whilst I read a Bond novel. And in 2002, I got that put on. I said, you know what? I'm going to read a Bond book while I did it. And that book was High Time to Kill. I can't remember who wrote it. Actually, it was. I started that tradition with High Time to Kill. I listened to this score while reading that book. And awesome book, by the way, Raymond. I love it. And I was able to not gush about that on our first episode, but I had to let that out for episode two, that you started a tradition of novels and music colliding for me.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. So I guess that brings us to the official end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. If you've got any questions or a comment, you can email us at our new email address at ohmspod@outlook.com. Or as usual, you can comment on Twitter at ohmspod. And I noticed there's a little thread already going about the show just as we're recording it, which is pretty cool. If you'd like to chat with us personally on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Alan J. Porter or at Bond specific stuff at Bond Lexicon. Raymond, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, on Twitter, I'm at Raymond Benson, and on Facebook, I've got a personal page and an author page. You can just type my name in and I'll bet both will come up. And my website is raymondbenson.com.
Jared? I can be found at Yard Sale Artist. That's Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. And that's where you'll find me.
Great. Well, thanks, guys. And as always, we have to thank our patrons who support all of the podcasts on the White Rocket and OHMS Pod networks. And we appreciate your support.
Okay, you guys just relax as I read the list of names here of the folks that are keeping us going here at OHMS Pod and all the other White Rocket endeavors. So here we go. We got big shout outs to Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Carl Von Drunker, Phil Amthor, Winston Bodie, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, always like that name, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, there's another good one, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, some cat named Jared Albrecht, William Glenn, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor, David Hegler, Nikki B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Gwynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris, Wardam Wade, Jason Albrecht, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Steve Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Pepper Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time and anonymous donors, one of which is not anonymous, it was Surfer Chickify. We greatly appreciate to everyone who hits us up on the Patreon page. If you're interested in getting on that list, just go to patreon.com and search for the keyword Plexico, P-L-E-X-I-C-O, and you will get special shout-outs, behind-the-scenes information on everything we're doing here at White Rocket. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode, and get your tickets to Pussy Galore's Flying Circus, and be prepared to cheat at golf, because we'll be back next episode with Goldfinger. Don't be late to class! All of today's featured tracks, with the exception of the Four Esquires and their James Bond theme, come from the official From Russia with Love soundtrack. We highly encourage you to purchase or legally download the soundtrack and support the James Bond community. Good job skipping over that thing I forgot to fix in the script. Still says Dr. No. Damn it, Jared. You had one job.
Hello? I lost you guys there for a second.
That's probably for the best.
Shall we start again?
Sure.
Okay. So you'll cut all that stuff out.
No, that's right? Staying in. Look for it on the outtakes reel.
All right.
Third time will be the charm. By Goldfinger, I'll have this down, I swear. Get him, Alan.
I'm going to pull Alan's hair. Oh, wait.
Good luck with that one.